Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Good to see everyone tonight. It's a pleasure to be here. That was short, Daniel. It's all right. It gives me more time. I got lots of notes. But it is the middle of October. Hopefully you have gotten some of color in your flower pots and in your gardens. We're wishfully thinking here, right? Since it hasn't rained in a while, we're gonna pray for some rain. We're gonna pray for all those things that come with October. We're in the middle of football season, middle of baseball playoffs, and just all sorts of things that happens in October. And how many shopping days are left until, ladies, you would know, told not to say that out loud, but I had to anyway. But it's good to be with you tonight as we get a chance to dive into the Word and study a few things this evening. So if you'll join me in a word of a prayer before we get started. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have together to worship, to fellowship, to come together as a church and a community. We ask that you bless this time. We ask that you heal those that need your healing hand, both physically and spiritually, in our families, in our church, in our classes, and in our community. Lord, we lift them up to you tonight. There are many. You know their aches and pains and ailments. We pray for those that are mourning. We pray for our country and for our leaders and for those that we elect to govern, both here in our community and our country. You give them discernment and wisdom. We lift them up to you. We ask that you bless our time here tonight and your word to our hearing. Lord, we ask and pray these things in your Jesus, our Lord and Savior's holy name. Amen. All right, well, I have to confess that I had a hard time deciding on what to speak about this evening and what verse to choose, because Wes, you know, when he's away, the mouse will play, right? He didn't give me any direction. He said, will you cover Wednesday night? And I said, sure. And then he left it at that, right? And he walked out the door. So I had lots of thoughts come into my mind, and I had some things that I wanted to talk about, but I can't talk about everything, so I had to narrow it down to this one. So the passage, there are many, but the one we're going to focus on tonight is in Paul's letter to Timothy. We read about Paul's journeys and in Acts, where we're studying now, and as that early church unfolds, and then as Paul concludes his journey, so to speak, at the end of his time and his third missionary journey, he's writing back to his young protege, Timothy, and he is giving him a word of encouragement. And hopefully that's what we're going to find here tonight in the passage we're going to read. It's in the first chapter. I want to come all the way down to the last couple of verses in the first chapter and introduce ourselves to someone you may be familiar with, but we're going to focus on tonight. A gentleman by the name, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this, so my apologies, I practiced this and still got it wrong, right? In verse number 16, Onesiphorus, I'm only going to say it once, gentleman you may not have heard of before, but let's read about him here as Paul is writing to Timothy from prison in Rome, and we're going to take a look here real quick at these verses in verses 13 through 18 of the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Did I say 1 Timothy before? No, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. So I'll read that for us. Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Guard through the Holy Spirit who lives in us that good thing entrusted to you. This you know, all those in Asia have turned away from me, including Phygelus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he diligently searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant that he obtain mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know how he ministered at Ephesus. So this gentleman, as we find ourselves here in this day and time of what seems like chaos, but in every generation there's a lot going on. It seems like it maybe it just comes to us faster at this point in time. But October is a time that we celebrate a couple of things. We celebrate birthdays, we celebrate baseball, we celebrate the Reformation that started in 1517, where one stood up in the midst of the crowd and provided service and spoke out. We'll celebrate next year the 250th anniversary of this great republic that we celebrate and live in, where a few stood up and made themselves known and moved forth with an act of service. So notice here in these verses that I read to you, he's talking to Timothy, but he's talking about this one that we read about only twice in Scripture, once here and once in Acts, where he's mentioned before by Dr. Luke, but we know that he's from Ephesus. He was a part of that early church. Paul was there, and he preached, and he founded the church, and he had many around him, and those that followed him, and those that fell away, like those mentioned in verses 15, that were with him but fell away. But this one, Onesiphorus, who traveled all the way from Ephesus to Rome, across the sea and land, some 1,000 miles, to, what does it say, to diligently search for and find Paul. Just one person. Just one man. Luke was there, but he was by himself because everybody had left because they were ashamed of the fact that he was in prison. And during that day, because Paul was in prison and being charged and fixing to be executed, nobody really wanted to be around him. But this one who decided to take courage and to fear not searched out Paul. And he found him in chains and in prison. And what does it say that he did to him there? He ministered to him, right? So sometimes when we think about this congregation, this community, our church, that I'm thankful to be a part of, right, that we're here together and we can minister to each other, sometimes it takes courage like this in the ministry work that we do, whatever that ministry work is, right? Wherever we find ourselves, whatever role or gift that has been given that you find yourself ministering in, sometimes it comes easy, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it takes courage to search out and to diligently find the one that you need to minister to, right? And so with that thought in mind, we go back to the second passage that I wanted to call to our attention tonight. As we think about this idea of courage and being fearless, because that's what Paul told Timothy to do in verse 7. I didn't read that, but if you go back up to verse 7 of the first chapter, starting in verse 6, it says, "Therefore I remind you, keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power and of love and of sound judgment." So the Spirit lives in us, right? He is indwelt in us. We're the holy temple that we're there, and he has given this to us, power and love, the ability to be courageous and not to fear. So if we turn over then to another letter of Paul, the letter that he wrote to the Romans, and if we look at the 12th chapter there and think about what Paul's words are to the church there versus the what we find there as the encouraging word to Timothy to be like this one, to search out, to be courageous. The other idea or thought that I had was what we find here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12. That relates to being fearless, but also relates to how we be fearless with the Spirit that indwells in us. So we're all familiar with this passage. So if you look at it, you think about it, He starts there in verse 1, referring back to what he talked about in chapters 1 through 11. He says, "So therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship." My thought was, how does that relate to what we read in verses 17 and 18 about Onesiphorus? The one, we'll call him the one, huh? Right? That he was there giving a living sacrifice. In comparison to the priests that offered sacrifices in the temple that were not living sacrifices, right? But now, because we have the Spirit, we're coming forth and we're offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. And that living sacrifice is what? If you, he gives it some adjectives there. What it means, that it's holy. That's an interesting thought about a living sacrifice. You think about your body as the temple, as the temple was there where God dwelt amongst his people of Israel. And we're studying that in Sunday school class now in Numbers and Deuteronomy. As they come through the desert, come through the wilderness, who was with them that whole time? God was. For 40 years, he was there. He was present in the Shekinah cloud that was there, that was in the temple. It would settle down into the Holy of Holies, and it was raised up, and it would move, and they would follow. And they would stop and they would camp. And for 40 years, his presence was there, manifest amongst them, visible and working. Every day they got up. Every night they went to bed. The sun rises, it's there. The sun sets, it's there. For 40 years, his presence, right? And the manna flowed. And when they needed something, it was there. And then there was a time when they were coming out of the wilderness and moving into the promised land, which was their inheritance, which was a promise. It was theirs. All they needed to do was go and take it. It had been promised to them, and so it was there for their taking, right? And so I digress a little bit, but anyway, that's the idea about this, the fact that as a living sacrifice, what we do in the church, what we do with each other, is a living sacrifice, but it is holy because it's guided by the Spirit. The Spirit indwells in us, and that is pleasing to God, and this is your spiritual worship, to not be fearful, to step out and to serve in the capacity that the Lord has given you to serve in, right? And then in verse 2, he continues that thought where he says, "Do not be conformed to this age." My, how things don't change, right? The age then, the age now, how tempting it is, how easy it is to be conformed, to be pressured from the outside to make it look like we are a part and that we fit in. But he says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. The word there that is translated out of the Greek is the base word for metamorphosis, which means to be transformed from the inside out. Same word is used in Matthew's gospel where we find the Lord Jesus on the mountain where he is transformed or transfigured before the apostles, right? That's the same word here, his metaphor. So his glory shone forth from the inside out. It was like being transfigured, right? But we are to be transformed by what? In verse 2, the renewing of our minds. That is one that, as in today's world where we have so many things coming at us in so many different forms, it's easy to lose track of what is truth. What does truth look like? What does truth sound like? You know, with AI and technology and the things of the world, right? You don't have to look far to ask the question, is that real? Did that person do that? Did that person say that? Are they even there? what is truth? We know as Christians, we know as believers that have the Spirit in us, the truth is in front of us, that's been preserved for us, right? This is the truth. And how do you renew your mind? Obviously, it is that you are in the Word, right? Every day, because that's the truth that has been preserved, and that is how we renew our mind on a daily basis. It's through that renewing of our mind that we, and the Spirit indwelling in us, that we have the courage to fear not. But in this context of this passage, we find that he continues on there just a little bit. So we're not going to be conformed to the age or but we're going to be transformed. This transformation is the renewing of our mind so that we may discern what is pleasing, what is good, and what is the perfect will of God. That's an interesting thought, right? Because people often ask that question, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing as a member of the church, as this body of Christ? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing? You know, I'm trying to fill myself up with this feeling of goodness from the Lord, that I'm being blessed, that I'm being raised up. But that's not what we find in 2 Timothy, or even here for that matter. Our act, our fulfilling of the Spirit, our satisfaction, if you will, that's probably not the right word to use, is in the renewing of the mind. It is that we are doing, right? We're acting, we're serving, and we're taking courageous steps, and we're fearing not in that. Fear is paralyzing sometimes, right? We don't want to move, and the best way to overcome the fear is to take action. Growing up, one of the things that I remember most, there are several things that I try to forget that don't ever go away, but the things that I do want to remember is a little motto that we used to have when I was a young person in 4-H. Did anybody in here happen to be in that organization growing up in your community? A few of you did, some of you were FFA, or if you're ag, or maybe you did home economics, or some other club that you were active in school as a young person, right? 4-H is one of the things that I got to do. And they had a motto. And the motto was to make the best better, but it continued on. Because there was 4 H's, right? It was the clover, was the symbol, and there was an H, the letter H in each. Anybody remember what those stood for? I hear a few words going over there. There was a pledge that went along with the motto, right? I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health for better living for my country, my community, and my world. All right? And in that simple motto or pledge that we used to say, sounds very familiar to what we read in the passages of Scripture. Makes you wonder where they got it, right? In terms of the need within a community for this act of service to each other, to be bold, to fear not, and to move forward in serving. And sometimes it takes the act of searching out and finding. And since October is Pastor Appreciation Month, I'm sure that they would appreciate you searching out and finding ways to lift up those that serve us each and every day and each and every week here in our church, in our community, right? As we think about these passages that we have that Paul leaves us with here. So this idea of fear not, which is ubiquitous, if you will, in Scripture. Does anybody have a favorite passage that begins with fear not? I'm sure you do, right? You just don't want to yell it out. There you go. Times you take joy. Fear not, for I have redeemed you, right? There's this theme that's interesting throughout Scripture. When we find ourselves in the presence of holiness, that there's this idea that we are to fear not. But there's also this idea that when we are in a situation like David, like the nation of Israel, like others, where the circumstances may seem where you can't overcome them, right? There's not an end in sight. The end game does not look clear. What is our purpose here? What's going to happen if we do that? Where he says, fear not, for behold, the Lord's right hand is with you. Do not fear, I will help you. Deuteronomy 31:6. If you haven't studied it yet, you will in Sunday school class soon, right? When Joshua is standing there and they're about to enter into the promised land that had already been given to them, all they had to do was to move across the Jordan and to take it. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The Lord is with us, right? I mean, these are the basic tenets of the Christian faith, is that when we're called and we're saved, that the Lord indwells us. The Holy Spirit is there, right? He is always with us, like he was with the Israelites there in the cloud every day, that he is there, that we are to not to fear. The most common one what we hear about is the 23rd Psalm. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, as David says. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, right? To fear not. Jesus even affirms that for us when he is leading and guiding the disciples and the apostles and trying to impart to them in Luke 12. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you to the kingdom. Do not be afraid. Others that have that theme, and there's many more, but in John 14:27, it says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. It's interesting how we have to be reminded of that every day, right? And that is in the renewing of our minds that we find the strength and the courage that is not our own, right? I can think that I'm strong or I'm courageous in doing those things, but when it really comes down to it, sometimes I don't have the heart for it. But where does that come from? It comes from the Spirit that indwells, because he is always with us. He is always there, even as he was with those before. And as we think about that in our lives and how we move and breathe and how we serve and how we have to be courageous and bold to find those opportunities to serve. Because Jesus told the apostles on the Mount of Transfiguration, after they came down from there, what was Peter's response to the question, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked him that question. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? And Jesus responds to them that didn't come from you, Peter, but that came from God, the Spirit that was in you. And upon this rock, upon this declaration of faith, this declaration of salvation, he makes this statement, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Does that sound like a promise? It does, right? It is a promise that he is building his church. We are the church. We are the called out ones, the ecclesia, if you will, that he has chosen to serve each other, to serve our community. And it takes the boldness of the one like we read about in 2 Timothy, Onesiphorus, to search out, find those opportunities to not fear, to be bold as things move and shake, right? Because if he's building his church, what is he doing with us, whether he's building it physically or spiritually? But it's not up to us, right? I mean, we go and we do what we're called to do. It may be to plant a seed. It may be to water. But who gives the growth? God does, right? It's his spirit. He's going to build his church. He's going to use us to do it. And whatever, and his will is going to be done, right? So however that comes together, our role is not to question that, but our role is to find those opportunities that we have to search out, diligently search, find those ones that we can serve and lift up and minister to as we think about that. So as you continue on in your October here and find times to celebrate and find times to serve, maybe you'll have that opportunity to be the one, maybe you're the only one that will stand up to serve, to say, to make a difference in a life that you have. And that's what our church and our community is all about. So with that, I'll close with a word of prayer, and we can have a few extra minutes before we get ready for choir. Or you'll have a few extra minutes to sing in choir, right? You have a little bit more practice as we go through. So I appreciate the opportunity to bring a few thoughts from God's word to you this evening in your time of worship and prayer. Join me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have, for your word. We thank you for an ear to hear so that we understand. Even in the brevity of the time that we have, your word is powerful. Your word moves amongst its people. And the product of your word and your spirit is great. And we lean into you, Lord, and look to you for courage so that we fear not, so that we have the ability, the diligence to stand up and to serve each other as part of this church and this community. You've called each of us to serve in a certain way, and I pray that you will give us the ability and the courage to do so each and every day as we renew our minds with your word. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your many blessings and your healing hand. We lift it all up to you. We ask and pray in your son's holy name. Amen. Y'all have a blessed rest of your week, and be careful out there.